And means a sub on capital construction. It's May 12, 2017. Here are the rules, and you're talking to the quickest gavel in the Senate. Okay, we're trying to get through as many projects as we can. So I don't care if there's five people to speak on the same project. You can all come up at once, but you're going to get 3 minutes. Okay? And when the gavel comes down, sorry, you're done. I don't care if you're a judge, a senator, or what. We have a lot to get through. I promise we're going to start out with Multnomah County Chair Deborah Kafoury, and whoever wants to speak on the Multnomah County Courthouse can come up at the same time.
Thank you, co-chairs and members of the committee. My name is Deborah Kafoury. I'm the chair of the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners, and I'm happy to be here today to speak with you about our courthouse replacement project. In 2013, the Oregon legislature passed SB 5056, which laid the groundwork for an unprecedented partnership between the state of Oregon and Multnomah County to rebuild Oregon's largest and busiest courthouse. Replacing this courthouse, built in 1906, is long overdue. If a major earthquake strikes, our courthouse will collapse. Exit paths will be blocked, and people will be trapped. The loss of our courthouse would have a huge impact beyond our county borders. The Multnomah County Circuit Court handles 34% of the statewide caseloads, 57% if you include parking citations, and generates $72 million a biennium for the state. The total project cost is between $300 and $310 million. The state contribution is set at $125 million. Multnomah County will fund the anticipated balance, including any price escalation. We are asking for bond funding of $92.6 million for our final construction allocation from the state. Multnomah County has already allocated nearly $80 million from our general fund over the past few fiscal years. We're planning a bond sale in September 2017 to provide for the remaining share of a county's contribution to the courthouse. The construction is underway. We have a video cam set up on the Hawthorne Bridge so you can watch live streaming of the construction. It's terribly exciting. And I invite you all to look up on multco.us. We look forward to our continuing relationship with the state. Thank you very much for your time.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, my name is Nan Waller. I'm the presiding judge in Multnomah County, and I want to thank both the legislature and the county for taking care of a problem that we have been dealing with for many years, replacing our courthouse. We have two requests. OJD has two requests for this session concerning our courthouse. The $92.6 million construction cost, which is the last installment for construction that we will be asking for, and then $8.9 million for the technology and equipment that needs to be embedded in the building during construction. The reason that the requests are separated is because the way the statute delineates responsibility. Some things can be part of the shared county-state funding, and some things are the responsibility of the state only, which is the technology and equipment and fixtures. The reason that this is being requested in this session is because these are things that need to be embedded in the building during construction in order to keep the project on schedule, which also means on budget. And this project is, the building is set to be concluded building in mid-2019, so the 2019 session would simply be too late.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Rep. Laniger. And her entourage, please.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, I'm Ann Leininger, state representative for House District 38, Lake Oswego in Southwest Portland. I'm here today in support of Clackamas County's request for $1.25 million in planning dollars to support construction of a new Clackamas County courthouse. Clackamas County is a very diverse place, politically, geographically. There are many things on which we don't all see eye to eye, but in the large legislator sign-on letter and in a large community stakeholder sign-on letter, you will see that community members from across the political spectrum, across a lot of disciplines who care about the administration of justice are all united in supporting this planning grant so we can move forward and be ready to build a safe and new and functional courthouse. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon, co-chairs. I'm Clackamas County Chair Jim Bernard. Thank you for considering $1.25 million request. The current courthouse is an 81-year-old building that was built in Oregon's first city and in Oregon's oldest county. First, we own the land that the courthouse would be built. It's near the jail and it's near other county services. We have an approved campus plan. We already have it stubbed out for the infrastructure, and I'm pleased that the State Department of Human Services be sharing the property with us. Thank you.
Good afternoon, co-chairs. And I'm Presiding Judge Robert Herndon from Clackamas County. And I actually work in the building and have been in the Clackamas County Courthouse for almost 20 years now. And the important point I want to make about this is the fact that we're one of the busiest courthouses in the state. We have about 14,000 people a month that are in our building, a building that's seismically unsafe. It's a building that isn't large enough to handle all of the services that we have to provide, our jury assembly space, a law library, have to be in an annex. Very difficult to do business in that way. Our county commissioners have really stepped up providing the traction for this project, and a little more planning money is what we need to keep our place in line to be able to build a building in a few more years. Thank you very much.
Hey, Representative, you got 25 seconds more.
Well, good co-chairs, I will continue because I'm an attorney too. So, this team of people worked together to successfully do the Family Justice Center, a Safe Place Family Justice Center project. We have a strong history of working together. We have a strong county commission board right now and a lot of alignment. It's hard to build an important project like this, and this is our time. We are ready, and we really would welcome this modest but important amount of support.
Thank you so much. Senator Johnson, you want to bring your entourage up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I represent Senate District 16. I am an advocate for the Oregon Manufacturing Innovation Center, a chance to shape the future of manufacturing in Oregon. I apologize for the fact that early on I made an error in the presentation materials you have before you. Originally, we had asked for $6 million in Article 11Q bonds to build out our campus and procure capital equipment for educational purposes. With Ms. Beidle's help, I now understand that we need a combination of 11Q, GO, and lottery for a total of $6 million. My colleagues from Boeing, OSU, and a small manufacturer, Silver Eagle, will continue to make our case.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Co-chairs committee, my name is William Gary, representing the Boeing Company, a special program manager for the OMIC project. I'm here to tell you that the Oregon Manufacturing Innovation Center is alive and well, and there's an international spotlight on our efforts in Scappoose, Oregon. Four major international global companies have taken advantage of the activity that we've identified and have reached out and committed $12 million worth of high-tech, state-of-the-art manufacturing equipment to be placed in the facility. We're here to ask you for funding to be able to bring that building up to capability to receive that equipment and to get on the road with innovation and opportunity here in Oregon. Thank you.
I'm Gary Gosselin. I'm president of Silver Eagle Manufacturing, a small business, Oregon, founded in 1933. We employ about 120 people. This is an opportunity for us to innovate, which we need badly, but we can't afford to do as a small business. We get to work with big companies like Boeing and Daimler, and universities, and it's already exciting some of the things we've discussed and are starting to work on. And lastly, I'm really excited that OIT has stepped up to be the host of this property, and with Dr. Naganathan, I think I said it right, he has experience in this area, and I think that's a great combination for us.
Good afternoon. My name is John Parmigiani. I'm a mechanical engineering professor at Oregon State. OMIC is going to bring three key benefits through its creation. First, it's going to provide a means of industry personnel and university faculty to get together and talk about what working on the right projects. They're going to address the pressing needs of industry. Second, there's going to be it's going to have a facility that's going to provide the much-needed research equipment so that we can conduct this research in the most efficient way. And third, it's going to provide support for students so that they can get the best education that industry and academia working together can provide. One last closing comment is that quickly is that there's more to it, though, than just training engineers. To make Oregon manufacturing the best it can be, we also need machinists, we need welders, and we need millwrights. And this program is also going to bring that through the OMIC R&D, OMIC Training Center. And so Oregon Higher Education supports OMIC.
Thank you so much. Senator Olson.
Thank you, co-chairs, members of the committee. My name is Alan Olson. I'm a senator. I represent Senate District 20. I'm here today on a $3.5 million request for the Oregon Military Museum, called the James B. Thayer Military Museum. It's the only state military museum for the state of Oregon. Literally speaking, as I put the boxes out there, that's exactly what the museum looks like today. They have 14,000 artifacts, 30,000 library volumes, and 750 cubic feet of documents dating back to the early 1860s, all in boxes, under tarps, and covered up so that the state can't see them. Our people don't have the opportunity to see Oregon's military history. I'm a veteran. I believe that our military history is critical to the development and the growth of the state. I would ask that you provide funding so that this museum can continue on its path to get completed, be built out so that it can open at a reasonable time, and particularly so that Mr. Thayer can come and see the museum open before his time comes to an end. So I thank you very much for the opportunity to ask for this funding, and I would ask that you support the museum. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, Lane County Courthouse, so I got the commissioner and the judge, if you want to come up together.
Co-Chair Holvey, Co-Chair Gerard, and members of the committee, for the record, I am Jay Bozovich, a member of the Lane County Board of Commissioners representing West Lane District. I'm also the co-chair of the Association of Oregon County's Public Safety Subcommittee and a member of the AOC Court Facilities Task Force. I'm here today to ask you to include $5 million in Article 11 Q bond authority into Senate Bill 5505 for the Lane County Courthouse Replacement Project. As a member of the Court Facilities Task Force, I have been personally involved in the courthouse replacement projects for the past 3 years, attending and participating in the process that the Association of Oregon Counties and the Judicial Department established to evaluate and prioritize courthouse projects within the framework of the Oregon Courthouse Capital Construction Improvement Fund. The Lane County Courthouse Replacement Project was among the initial projects to apply for funding and arguably the first project to formally carry out a phased approach to project development. In 2015-17, our bond authorization was for planning purposes only. The authorization allowed us to engage with the services of the National Center for State Courts to determine the scale and configuration of the facility the State Circuit Court in Lane County requires to sustain court operations through the 21st century. This courthouse facility concept quickly became significant as it allowed Lane County to more specifically engage the Eugene City Council and indeed the community as a whole in a conversation about the development of a renewed civic center in downtown Eugene. With a new Lane County courthouse serving as a focal point, ultimately our board and the Eugene City Council passed motions agreeing to the preferred siting of a new county courthouse, Eugene's new city hall, and a number of other public improvements. Our board and the city council directed staff to prepare appraisals for the subject sites, and we will soon be meeting in public to discuss the appraisals and agree to terms on the property transactions necessary to fulfill our shared vision. The City of Eugene has submitted written testimony supporting our request. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Karsten Rasmussen, I'm the presiding judge of the Lane County Circuit Court. I'm here merely to indicate the court's support for the county's request. We've been engaged in a very long process. As I'm sure you know, we are have been approved by the Chief Justice as the next in line project. I actually brought the large programming study to indicate where we are in the phasing process, which is that's completed our long collaboration with the city now to talk about a better site. We actually have a site, but there's a better site in mind that the parties are working on that I think will work well for the community as a whole. We appreciate your support of this request. This allows us to continue to plan and to continue to phase our process since we have a lot of partners to work with as well. So I appreciate your support, and I see my time's up.
And I just assume the gavel didn't fall on me.
Thank you.
David Moon.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, I'll be extremely brief. My name is David Moon. I'm the director of the Business and Fiscal Services Division at the Oregon Judicial Department. I simply want to call your attention to testimony I submitted. That is the it lists out the Chief Justice request in priority order and the costs. So you have that material, so I won't go through it, and I'll allow for the opportunity for the commissioners and the presiding judges from each of their counties to come up and present.
Well, thank you so much. Okay, we're going to go with people that have come more than 100 miles. So we're going to go with Tom Kemper, and I guess he's with Shannon Wilhauer.
Co-chairs, committee members, my name is Tom Kemper. I'm the executive director of Housing Works in Central Oregon, Central Oregon Regional Housing Authority. I'm here to urge you to fund the governor's request for $100 million in LIFT funding. We're in the middle of a housing crisis. In Central Oregon, there are almost 20,000 households making less than 60% of area median income. There's less than 2,400 rental units that exist that are dedicated to that population. So like one in nine. Rent burden, over half the renters in Central Oregon have rent burden. They pay more than 30% of their income for rent. And astonishingly, almost 25% pay more than half of their income. So there's clearly a very significant housing crisis. Vacancy is like less than 1% in Bend, Redmond, and Prineville. So why do we need gap money? Well, most market deals, they get about 75% of debt to support the capital structure. So when you build affordable housing, your rents are 20 to 50% below that. So your NOI shrinks by that amount. It costs just as much to build it. Your expenses are just as much, and hence you need gap money. We're building 53 units in Bend, and the only reason we're being able to do that is Oregon Housing gave us $3 million to build it. Provided that gap funding. We're planning on building 42 units in Lapine and 48 units in Sisters, and that those projects are going forward because we received an allocation of LIFT funding. And without that money, those deals would not have happened. In Lapine, there is no affordable rental housing for families. So, it's really important to fund that $100 million.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, my name is Shannon Billhauer. I'm the executive director of Habitat for Humanity of Oregon. Thank you for your earlier $40 million lift allocation. It is so exciting to see that go out on the ground as these projects begin to unfold in rural parts of the state and helping to serve communities of color in our urban communities. There are 30 Habitat for Humanity affiliates statewide building and repairing homes. Without any additional investment from the state, we're looking at serving 150 families this biennium. With additional LIFT funding access, we would like to double that. On average, the income of the families we serve is 39%. That's annual earnings of $22,000 a year for a family of four. 98% of our homeowners repay their mortgages all the way. We're extremely successful. We want to do more. We just did a statewide homeowner impact study and learned that 92% of the kids who are growing up in these Habitat homes graduate from high school. We want to do more. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, well, we have one more that has traveled more than 100 miles. Mark Westenberger and Jim Barneau. Oops, oh, I'm sorry.
My name is Mark Westenberg. I work with the Tillamook County Creamery Association. I'll be very brief here because I know you're going to listen to other people that are going to talk on behalf of the Oregon State Food and Beverage Initiative. Tillamook has a long-standing history of support, collaboration, and investment at Oregon State in the College of Agriculture and in the Food Technical Science Department. We believe that this initiative, in terms of helping build out more infrastructure there, to make that, to continue the leadership position there that they have and to develop it further is really important to us. And in support of that, Tillamook, actually the producers that own Tillamook, have committed $1.5 million to that project through their through their private initiative to try to support that. So I guess briefly, we just hope that that provides some confidence to you folks that you can continue to support that as a really viable private public collaboration.
Thank you.
Co-chairs, members, my name is Jim Barneau. I'm the founder and president of Willamette Valley Vineyards. I'm here to speak on behalf of the initiative at Oregon State University. Back in 1983, this body committed resources in matching forms between our industry and the public to grow an Oregon wine industry. At the time we presented that proposal to you, we had under 100 employees for our industry. Now, directly employing 17,100 employees just in the wine industry alone. The great work of the leaders at Oregon State University, their researchers and professors have produced a great group of students that have populated our industry, created synergies and research that have allowed us to grow. You know, just one small piece of information that might surprise you. We as Oregonians produce about 1% of the American wine produced in the United States. The leading wine publication reviewer, The Wine Spectator, rates the quality of wines worldwide. And they rate Oregon wines 20% of all the top rated 90 plus point wines of American wines, 20% of those are Oregon wines. So we stand on a great opportunity to continue to grow our industry and employment for the state. So we support this measure and ask you to pass it. Thank you.
Okay, those that want to speak on OSU Cascades, we have to travel more than 100 miles. So,
good afternoon, co-chairs and members. I'm Amy Tykeson, a resident of Central Oregon. We are here today to support the expansion of OSU Cascades for the full $69.5 million. Our campus will be at capacity by 2020. As a business owner employing hundreds of people in Central Oregon for over 20 years, we had to recruit technical workers from outside of our region. OSU Cascades has changed that. I'm managing trustee for the Tykeson Family Foundation, and full disclosure, I'm a duck. But we believe strongly in the campus, and we believe it's a smart investment and have invested millions of our resources to support OSU Cascades. Co-chairs, committee, thank you for having us. I'm Katie Brooks. I'm the CEO of the Bend Chamber of Commerce. It's a pleasure to be here. We are fully in support of this OSU Cascades Ask, me and the seven chambers of Central Oregon. All of us understand how important it is to have a local workforce, and OSU has presented that to us with a four-year degree in a university. We also want to share with you that the economic value is exponential. The outdoor industry, technology, biotechnology, all want to be in close proximity to this university. We share a lot of the workforce in a very small place. We have 4.8% of the state's residents, people, but we generate 15% of the overall state's job growth. So something special is happening here. The business sector really relies on OSU for workforce and for economic value.
Hi, my name is Melanie Widmer. I'm the owner and president of Madras Sanitary Service, the former mayor of Madras, and at 43 years old, I'm a senior at OSU Cascades. When I was college age, there was no university I could get to. I grew up in Madras, and after graduating from high school, I attended Central Oregon Community College because even though it's a two-hour round-trip commute, I could get there while still working in my family business. I graduated from COCC about 20 years ago. It was a great start, but I wanted to continue my education. There was nowhere else to go, though. I needed to stay in Central Oregon. I was place-bound by my family business, just as so many others are place-bound by any other number of other reasons. Distance was a deal-breaker, but not just for me. Only 16% of Jefferson County adults have a bachelor's degree or higher. Our region has traditionally been underserved by the state university system, which has resulted in a great deal of pent-up demand. If we don't continue building now, OSU will be out of capacity within 4 years. My generation of Central Oregonians miss out on opportunities because there was no university in the region. Please don't let this generation miss out on opportunities because of a lack of investments. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, Clyde Psyche, I think is. Sorry, Clyde, I know I bomb your name every time.
No, you did it just right.
Okay.
Chair Girard and Chair Holvey and members of the committee, for the record, Clyde Psyche, Department of Human Services. We're here today to do an update on our Integrated Eligibility Medicaid Eligibility Project. It's a joint project between the Oregon Health Authority and Department of Human Services. The project is set up to have a single eligibility system for three of our major programs, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, as well as our employee-related daycare. And it also will handle the non-Magi and Magi Medicaid programs. The reason we're doing an update is because we have had some changes in the project and changes in scope, the major one being that initially in the project, Medicaid eligibility was going to be handled by the Health Authority, and the Department of Human Services was going to handle the eligibility for the rest of the programs. And we've now changed that so that Medicaid eligibility has been moved to Department of Human Services, and the department will handle eligibility for all the programs as opposed to not the Medicaid program. So I'm going to turn it over to Wayne Haddad from Oregon Health Authority.
Chairman Girard and Chairman Holvey, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Wayne Haddad, Business Information Systems Director for the Oregon Health Authority. I'm here to provide a brief status on the Integrated Eligibility and Medicaid Eligibility Project. The base technology platform is a transfer system from Kentucky. Deloitte is serving as our systems integrator for the project. Eric Smith was brought on at the end of March from the Department of Revenue to serve as our independent project director, and he's been a great addition to the project. The project timeline and budget were re-baselined between February and April this year. This was an appropriate and prudent step for the project, given its complexity, and at this point in time, because we're just completing the design and we have a better understanding and better clarity of the work involved that needs to be completed. With that, I'll turn it over to Nate Singer.
Chair Girard, Chair Halvey, members of the committee, my name is Nathan Singer. I'm the Deputy Operations Director with Aging and People with Disabilities.
based on the information that was shared, we've looked at our finances and looked at what we need for this. In the governor's recommended budget, originally, the department asked for $142.7 million in total funds, with $101.8 million of that being federal funds, $7.6 million general funds, and $18 million in bonds, and $275,000 in issue Wisconsin, $4.35 million in additional funds. What we're asking for now is an increase of $77 million total funds in limitation, with $45 million of that being federal funds, $27 million in bonds, and $5 million less in general funds. We need $6 million more in debt services and $3 million more in other fund limitations. This will allow us to put the infrastructure in place for the structure that will serve over a quarter of all Oregonians. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Tom Barrows.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, I'm Tom Barrows, representing Central Lincoln People's Utility District, here in strong support of Oregon Coast Community College's planned new Workforce Education and Resiliency Center at the college's Newport campus. OCCC's proposed applied technology program would be a great benefit for training workers on the coast, and the building would serve a secondary purpose as a resiliency and recovery center for Lincoln County south of the Yaquina Bay Bridge in the event of a catastrophic event. Disaster preparedness is one of Central Lincoln's top priorities, and we urge you to support this proposal.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Hey, Andrew Stork and Craig Hudson.
Minutes of testimony. This is kind of a blur for you all, so good afternoon. Chairs Girard and Chair Holvey and members of the committee. My name is Craig Hudson, and I work for Garmin here in Salem. Garmin is an organization with over 500 associates here at three locations in Oregon. We currently employ over 200 engineering professionals from many disciplines across engineering and computer science. The title of today's hearing is General Obligation Bonds, but I really would challenge that this is more about jobs and revenue. Specifically, I'm here to speak in support of continued funding at Oregon Tech that allows renovations to be completed and the expansion of an integrated engineering complex with some 60,000 square feet of new space targeted at increasing access to STEM programs. You see, Garmin has a strong interest in post-secondary engineering programs. We hire many graduates from the state universities, including Oregon Tech. And the strengths of Garmin in Oregon is intrinsically linked to the strength of the talent that we can recruit. So Oregon Tech is here and delivering the outcomes that the state is seeking. Specifically, Oregon students who get STEM jobs can earn high wages and produce value within the state.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and committee members. My name is Andrew Stork, and I'm here on behalf of the Klamath County Economic Development Association today, also known as KCEDA. Expressing our strong support of Oregon Tech and its Center of Excellence in Engineering and Technology, or the Cornett Hall renovation. Oregon Tech is a highly dedicated partner in our development strategies. The significant talent it produces is a pipeline of scalable opportunity for both the community and the state. Klamath County itself benefits from $75 million in total annual output from Oregon Tech. This impact is extraordinary, as well as a profound indication that Oregon Tech's growth directly correlates with the vitality of Klamath's economy. Oregon Tech is an essential asset to the county, encouraging its growth with facilities such as the renovation of the aging Cornett Hall and its expansion of this engineering and technology capabilities is a direct statement about encouraging Klamath County's growth and its production value to the state. For the momentum in Klamath County to continue with its economic development efforts, it is imperative that all of us consistently support projects such as this renovation. In addition to expanding education opportunities for 500 students, many of whom are rural first generation and low income, it represents a greater investment in the future of Klamath County and the state of Oregon. Thank you for your time, consideration, and support.
Thank you so much. Okay, we'll hear from the Department of Forestry, Satish, and I'm not even going to attempt your last name.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the subcommittee. I'm Satish Upadhyay, Chief of the Administrative Services Division with the Oregon Department of Forestry. The Department of Forestry appreciates this opportunity to provide testimony to seek your support for two of our capital construction projects, which will be funded with 11Q bonds. These two capital construction projects are needed to not only help preserve ODF's history, but to also plan for the future to enhance our mission readiness. So being mindful of your time, I'll be brief, and we've also provided you a detailed written testimony. The first request is for $8 million through debt financing to restore the State Forester's Office building on State Street. This current building currently houses our executive team, board staff and support, and other departmental functions. This building is a true gem, and I would welcome you to come and visit our campus sometime. We'll give you a tour. It's in the National Register and Historic Places and is an outstanding example of the National Park architectural style, second in Oregon only to the Timberline Lodge. Due to budget constraints, there has been a challenge in keeping up with the deferred maintenance. And with the funding, this would take care of issues like moisture damage, seismic safety, and ADA access. And this project would also extend the building's life by decades. Our second request is for our Toledo unit office compound, and the request is for $3.83 million through debt financing. This facility, built in the 30s and 40s, was originally built on sloped ground that is considered unstable due to geological and seismic risks. It is in the tsunami zone, and it recently experienced a landslide. And also what we are doing in this project is we are partnering with the Oregon Department of Transportation with two state agencies partnering. There will be operational and budgetary benefits. So in closing, I appreciate your time, and again would like to invite you to come visit our campus. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to do K-12 bonding, and we have five people.
Sure.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and committee members. I'm Jim Schlachter. I'm superintendent of the Gresham-Bartle School District. We're the 10th largest district in the state, located in tax-averse East Multnomah County. I'm here to do three things today. I want to thank you for the funding of the Oregon State Capital Improvement Matching Program, share a success story of what that program did for our district, and encourage you to continue to fund that program. First of all, mentioning again, in East Multnomah County, passing bond measures have been difficult. We have had many failed bond measures, but in 2016, we were the recipients of an awesome matching grant of $8 million. Our school board on August 4th took that information and lowered a $299 million bond to $291. This was all new tax, added cost to the voters. But with that reduction and a lot of communication to our community about the state chipping in $8 million, we were able to pass that bond at 51% voter approval. That's a total of 850 votes. I don't think it's a stretch to understand that those 850 votes probably are easily attributable to the state matching grant. I'll capture it in one quick paragraph why I think this program should continue. The Gresham-Bartle success, the state invested $8 million. That investment influenced and was partially responsible for a local community choosing to invest $291 million. An investment of state of $8 million, a return on investment locally of $291. That's a huge success program.
Yeah, I'm Gary Washburn, Superintendent of Schools, Roseburg Public Schools. I want to thank the committee and the legislators for their support of the bonding, and in particular the seismic rehabilitation grants. Roseburg Public Schools has to date received almost $7 million in those grants. We were able to rehabilitate our gymnasium, which had a roof that had a snow load of half an inch, and we all know what happened this year when buildings had higher than that. That building is now safe, and we can use it for Red Cross for Cascadia subduction zone events. We look forward to making additional improvements. What I do know about the two capital projects that we have out there for education, we are often questioned about how we spend money in education. This is one of those times when we've got it right, and I want to thank you for that and encourage you to continue that opportunity.
Good afternoon. I'm Boyd Kaiser. I'm superintendent for the North Marion School District, serving the communities Aurora, Hubbard, and Donald. I'm here to testify in support of continuing and expanding the seismic grant program. I hope I can bring you kind of a unique perspective because I also serve in emergency management. I work for American Red Cross as government liaison. I work on the emergency team for Marion County, and I'm also part of CERT for the City of Keyser. In all of those roles, I've been able to see the importance of collaboration between schools and communities. And today, there's over 500.
Sorry.
Oh, man. See, I knew I shouldn't have presented with superintendents.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Dave Stuckey, Military Department. Anybody wishes to speak with the Military Department?
And go chairs.
Just let me make an announcement. If you do get cut off, at the end, we will be going through the cycle again. So if you want to stick around, you can maybe get another minute or so in. Okay, go ahead.
All right, co-chairs, members of the committee. I'm Dave Secchi, Deputy Director of the Oregon Military Department. And I'm here today to testify on behalf of our portion of Senate Bill 5505. There are seven projects that I'd like to address, and I'll stick them in two buckets. The first is five projects in this bucket that we call the Regional Emergency Enhancement Package. We're requesting 16.5, just a share, hair under 16.5 million. And this package is all about preparing for the Cascadia subduction zone. And that's the theme here is seismic and seismic preparation. The five projects are two on the coast. We have Newport and we have two of our Army Aviation Support facilities, the only two that we have our helicopter facilities at, and that's Salem and Pendleton, and then the Salem-Anderson Readiness Center. The goals of these projects are seismic structural improvements, power, liquid fuels, as well as potable water. And the detail for each one of these projects is enclosed in my written testimony. The second bucket that I'd like to address is, and ask for your support, is at Jackson Armory in Portland, as well as the Grants Pass Armory for a total of $6.8 million. These two projects are what we call the Army Service Life Extension Program. We're just kind of extending the life of these very, very old armories to help ensure that it meets the mission of the National Guard. The goals of these projects, seismic, no surprise to anyone, as well as upgrading mechanical, the building envelope, the grounds, and the lighting. There's more detail for these projects also enclosed in the for the priorities within in my written testimony. And as with the REAP, we always look for federal dollars or National Guard Bureau dollars to try and add to these projects to enhance these and continue it forward. And so with that, we appreciate your support for these seven projects. Thank you.
Thank you. John Wyckoff for Community Colleges and General.
Co-Chairs Gerard and Holvey, members of the committee, for the record, John Wyckoff, Oregon Community College Association. I will be very brief since you heard about almost all of our projects last week. I wanted to just give you a quick update on one of the projects that we had mentioned in our testimony prior, that we had said Treasure Valley Community College had a carryover project, so may not be eligible for funding this time. The match for that project, which is for a CTE center, their Malheur County CTE center. They have made it to the second round of a U.S. Economic Development Administration grant process. They should know in the next month, over the next month, whether they receive that grant. That would cover their match for their carryover project, which would make them eligible to be funded for their 30,000 square foot health professions building that is their current project ask. So we would just ask that to the degree possible that they remain in consideration if that grant process is successful, and as they have now made it to the second round, so that may cover their first match. And the second I just wanted to very quickly point to, and you have you also have written testimony provided on both of these projects, is the Maritime Science Building for Clatsop Community College that was not mentioned in testimony last week. It was the project just below the cut line in the governor's budget that we talked about. It would double the square footage for their maritime science program. They have partnerships with the River and Bar Pilots Association and work with them to make sure commerce continues to flow up the Columbia River. And this would allow them to double basically the size of that program. Those were the two projects I wanted to bring to your attention, and you have written testimony on those, and I believe about almost all of the other projects that you heard about last week. So thank you.
Thank you. Virginia Weiss.
Why did you call it Columbia Groves?
This is separate.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the committee. My name is Virginia Weiss. I'm a member of the Oregon State University faculty in biology. I'm here to voice my support for the renovation of Cordley Hall, a major research and institutional building on campus. I am sad to say that I've been an occupant of this building for about 21 years. Thanks to Senator Devlin for touring Cordley with President Ray last year to view some of the problems and challenges. Just a few metrics, Cordley is the third largest building on the OSU campus behind the library and the Memorial Union. It's our largest research building. It was built in the 50s and it's never been renovated. It houses two of the largest life science departments that perform world-class research programs. Together, they bring in 15% of the grant dollars to OSU. For example, in fiscal year 16, they brought in $9.8 million. The Cordley houses valuable collections of plants and arthropods, and the faculty housed in the building instruct approximately 24,000 students per year. Many of the classes serving these students are taught in Cordley, including human anatomy and physiology. I'm very concerned about the state of the building. There's no sprinkler system. There are no seismic upgrades, and both of these are posing serious risks to life safety. Half the building has no air conditioning. There are constant leaks from the roof and internal plumbing failures that threaten the research and instructional enterprise. Just a few examples. The arthropod collection, which houses 3 million specimens, which serves as a resource worldwide to scientists, gets up to 100 degrees on some summer days and has tarps suspended over specimen cabinets in the winter to protect against water leaks. We have to have built internal catchments in rooms to catch water leaks over expensive, say, $500,000 microscopes that would be ruined if these catchments weren't in place. We have newly renovated labs where there are steam valve failures that spray 250-degree water into the lab. Luckily, to date, no one has been injured by that. So we're at the point where our ability to attract and retain world-class faculty is in jeopardy. Some of our best, most promising faculty may leave because of the poor quality of the facility, and recruiting is becoming a big challenge. At present, we cannot guarantee the safety of the many faculty and researchers and thousands of students who occupy the building throughout the year. Upgrades to this facility are urgently needed. Thanks very much for your attention.
Oh, thank you. Chris Cummings.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris Cummings. I'm the Assistant Director for Economic Development at the Oregon Business Development Department. I'm here today in support of the Seismic Rehabilitation Program and the Governor's request for slightly over $202 million in Article M and Article N bond funding. During the current biennium, the legislature awarded the department slightly over $205 million for this seismic rehabilitation program, which we, of course, administer. We have guidance from the Seismic Advisory Board, which is a legislatively mandated board, to award funding seismic retrofit grants to schools and emergency service buildings in the state. Schools are retrofitted to life safety standards, meaning that if there is a seismic event, the kids can get out of the school without being hurt. And emergency service buildings, of course, are retrofitted to immediate occupancy standards, which means that if there is a seismic event, the emergency service providers can get back into these buildings to support the communities that they serve. During the current biennium, the $205 million that we were awarded, we had just recently awarded the last amount of that funds, and we were able to target award funds to 140 school buildings and 47 emergency service buildings. During the next biennium, should we be awarded additional funds, we would like our advisory committee has suggested that we raise our funding amount to $2.5 million for each recipient as opposed to the current biennium, which is $1.5 million, and this is based on inflationary expectations and the fact that we probably targeted most of the low-hanging fruit in the smaller buildings. Should we be awarded this funding at $202 million, at $2.5 million per project, we would see at a very minimum 80 projects across the state be retrofitted for seismic retrofits. It may go over 80 buildings. However, $2.5 million is our cap. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
Could we get information on OLIS about all the projects, both on school and emergency services that have been funded? I'm sure it's somewhere. I'm just not...
Co-chair centers, I have submitted written testimony with this, and we have a list of the buildings, the schools and emergency service buildings with that testimony in that list.
Thank you.
Do we have this?
If it's not here afternoon, that's probably not bad.
Okay, great. We will get that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the Department of Revenue. I got Gary Johnson and Gary Humphrey.
Why is the governor's office being here?
Good afternoon, co-chairs, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Gary Johnson. I'm the Chief Information Officer and Project Director for Core System Replacement, also known as CSR, at the Department of Revenue. I'm here in support of my written testimony around core system replacement. As you may know, the department is in the midst of replacing the majority of its core tax systems to mitigate the growing risks of not being able to support its aging legacy systems and maintain current service levels. The CSR project spans three biennia, and we've successfully implemented the first three rollouts of CSR on time and within budget. Policy option package 104 fulfills the project's final funding needs for the 2017-19 biennium. The fourth and final project rollout, which is scheduled to go live on November 13, 2017, will implement Gentax for our remaining programs. In policy option package 104, core system replacement project, we requested $9.5 million in other funds for the sale of general obligation bonds and a related $1.7 million in general funds for capital debt services cost. Since the governor's recommended budget was published in December of 2016, we've completed additional analysis of the project. We've determined that the $3 million that was budgeted for contingency will no longer be needed. We're working with the Capital Finance and LFO to adjust the budget request. We're requesting $5.4 million in general obligation bonds and $261,992 in general funds for capital debt services. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So Bob Lee. ODF&W is next. Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Go ahead.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, my name is Gary Humphrey. I'm with the Department of Revenue. I'm actually on a different project that I'm presenting to you on.
Oh, okay.
We'll see how the time-wise, what that means to you. And so I wanted to give you a report on the property valuation system project. This is one that the legislature approved 2 years ago, some funding for us to work on. This is a system that would replace what we have now, a bunch of spreadsheets, disparate systems that we would use to value industrial, large industrial properties and centrally assessed properties that then the counties we pass along, and that's where the revenue is. So this is around $54 billion of value and $654 million of tax revenue that goes to the district. So when you think about these companies that we're talking about here, these are large technology, railroads, the communications companies, utilities, those types of properties that we're talking about. And right now, when we deal with them, we're exchanging information through CDs that we mail back and forth. We have paper documents we send back. We'd like to modernize, as we have with our other systems, to be able to modernize that whole system so we can get some current technology. The 36 counties all have a computer-assisted mass appraisal system now, and so we're looking to do that as well to catch up with where they're at. The request now is for an additional 3.4 is what is in the governor's budget, but we're in the midst of the process of working with the solution providers that have submitted proposals, so we don't know yet what that final number will be. That we're right in this month to get an intent to award, so we're right in that process.
I can give you about another. Are you good? And the reason is it is two separate projects. Are you good?
Well, I had more, but.
Okay. Okay, thanks. ODF&W?
We're just here in support of.
Well, you got somebody in the back there. Tom was on the sheet, and so was Olson, Bob Olson.
Co-Chair Gerard, Co-Chair Holby. For the record, my name is Tom Wolf, here representing Trout Unlimited.
We're here to support SB 5505, specifically for deferred maintenance that for Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. Currently, right now, in a report that was released back in 2008, it stated that fishing, hunting, and wildlife brings into the state economy every year $3 billion. But the agency that has been charged with managing these our hunting, fishing, and wildlife viewing resources is currently in a huge backlog of deferred maintenance, both for their facilities, for their hatcheries, and for their wildlife viewing areas. So we support money that would come from 5505 that would help with meeting some of their backlog deferred maintenance goals, and we feel that this would be a huge benefit both to the agency who manages our fish and wildlife for conservation purposes, but for the economic value they bring to rural communities all over the state. And if I could add just real quickly on the Department of Forestry request, I meet out at their old forestry building all the time, and we too support rehabbing that wonderful old building that desperately needs to be refitted. Thank you.
Co-chairs, committee members, Bob Olson. For the record, I'm here for Association of Northwest Steelheaders today. I was just running down the hall, so I'll try to catch my breath. This bonding-related measure is important for ODFW and the people of Oregon. It could implement the first group of critically needed deferred maintenance projects, projects that will help revitalize our fisheries and also related facilities. This work in the improved fisheries system will contribute and recontribute to the economy and local communities. For the public record, it will enhance fishing opportunities. In numerous ways, modern and efficient hatcheries contribute to the conservation of native fish. SB 5505 can move the state in this direction. In short, this is the time for our state to begin digging itself out of the existing hole of deferred maintenance involving fish and wildlife facilities. Your support of this bill is appreciated.
Thank you.
Catch your breath.
Okay, we've gone through the sheet the first time. Is there anybody representing projects that haven't been heard yet that wish to speak? Because we'll go back through the sheet here. Okay, then we're going to go OSU bonding for food and beverage. We've got Tammy Denny.
Doing now?
Oh, there's people got left off.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, good afternoon. My name is Tammy Denny. I am the legislative director for the Oregon Dairy Farmers Association, headquartered here in Salem, serving Oregon's 228 dairy farmers. All dairy farms are ours, whether they are small or large, conventional or organic. In 2015, the milk produced on these 228 farms contributed more than $474 million to the state's economy. And in 2014, the value of Oregon's dairy products exported exceeded $93 million. The number of Oregon dairies is directly related to the ability of each farm to withstand milk market price fluctuation against the cost of feed, labor, taxes, equipment, and, of course, the regulations from the state and federal levels. Another factor on the dairy and dairy industry is that it's a 365-day-a-year, 24/7 business. So there aren't a lot of youngsters that are saying, sure, sign me up. I'd love to come back to the farm and work 365, 24/7. One of the bright spots is innovation and technology, the ability to attract our brightest and best back to the farm, and a new workforce that's going to look at the technological tools along with product development. The bill that is here today that we're talking about, Senate Bill 5505, is a bonding authority for Oregon State University to build a quality food and beverage center on campus. Currently, there is an operating dairy on campus. The milk produced there and is processed into beaver cheese. Wouldn't it be great for us to build this center and create some innovation, build a new workforce that's going to look at dairy in a whole new light, encourage our young
graduates to work in the industry in various technology-based settings, but also in the food and beverage industry. The payback to the community and to the state is real. So Oregon Dairy Farmers Association is enthusiastic and enthusiastically supports the revenue bonding authority represented in this bill. So thank you very much for your support.
Representatives, co-chairs, thank you for this time to speak on behalf of support of the Oregon Quality Food and Beverage Initiative. I'm David McGivern, president of Northwest Food Processors Association, started in 1914 here as an organization representing the food, value-added food agricultural community on common issues of interest. I'm here to say that this particular project is a common interest among the broader food community in order to help brand the Oregon food products as high-quality products worldwide. Number one. Number two, we happen to have a lot of open positions in the food industry that are very difficult to fill right now. What we need are talented individuals running these operations, and we rely heavily on the university system to provide that. And then thirdly, we rely heavily upon the research from the university in order to develop new innovative products that can be released. Thank you for our support. Very simple.
Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to go back to K-12 bonding. Morgan Allen and Richard Donovan. Anybody that wishes to speak on K-12 bonding? Okay, don't have any takers. Jay Ward, OSU Cascades. And Becky Johnson's with OSU Cascades. Okay.
Last chairs
for OSU Cascades.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
President Johnson was with the earlier group and somehow got skipped, and okay. I think they headed out.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. Co-chairs, members of the committee, for the record, Jay Ward, Energy Trust of Oregon. We're an independent nonprofit serving the 1.6 million customers of PGE, Pacific Power, Northwest Natural, Cascades Natural Gas, and now Avista. Thank you for the opportunity to comment today. Pursuant to our grant agreement with the Oregon Public Utility Commission, Energy Trust does not lobby for or against legislation, nor support any particular funding allocation. That said, I would like to offer some context regarding one of the proposals before you today, the $69.5 million request from OSU Cascades to expand the campus to meet the education needs for Central Oregon. As with many of the other public institutions you've heard from today, Energy Trust is pleased to be working with OSU Cascades to design and build its facilities to be energy efficient. Doing so not only conserves energy, it saves the taxpayers hard-earned money today, and in the case of new buildings, for decades to come. To date, Energy Trust has provided technical support and cash incentives for OSU Cascades' Tyson Hall, the Residence Hall, and the Academic and Dining Building. We're also very excited that OSU Cascades is involved in our Path to Net Zero program. This utilizes our incentives to help the university design for efficiency and generation for today and tomorrow, making the monies that you appropriate go farther. Net zero energy use can also mean a net zero energy bill. Lastly, while not directly a part of this capital construction budget, I'd like to speak to the important irrigation modernization work that OSU Cascades students and faculty are doing in Central Oregon. Recently, OSU Cascades students enrolled in the Energy Systems Engineering Program designed a new 200-kilowatt hydropower plant for the Three Sisters Irrigation District, which I believe both Senator Girard and Representative Huffman have visited. Over the summer, seven student interns under contract with the Farmers Conservation Alliance and supported by Energy Trust funding performed scientific water loss assessments, quantifying the amount of water lost to seepage and evaporation in irrigation canals across the Deschutes Basin. All this means more water for Deschutes Basin farms and fish while educating and training OSU Cascade students to build an economically and ecologically sustainable Oregon. In closing, Energy Trust appreciates your commitment to managing state spending under what are very challenging circumstances, and thank you again for the opportunity to share our thoughts with you.
Well,
yield
you
back
so
the balance of my time.
You could sell it. Okay, we have Lyft one more time. We got Director Salazar.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Margaret Salazar, and I'm Director of Oregon Housing and Community Services. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today about the Local Innovation and Fast Track Housing Program, or LIFT. I'm here today in support of the governor's proposed $60 million investment in the LIFT program. As you know, the 2015 legislature committed $40 million of general obligation Article 11(2) bonds to fund the LIFT program in its first round. This new use of funding has allowed OHCS and our partners to increase Oregon's supply of affordable housing, particularly for low-income families in historically underserved communities, rural communities, and communities of color. In January 2017, our agency issued the first set of LIFT awards to fund 12 projects across the state, providing nearly 1,000 affordable homes for Oregon families. LIFT reached historically hard-to-develop areas such as Lapine, Ontario, and Yahats. These communities have been working hard to house working families, and without LIFT, that housing simply would not have happened. There is so much more that we need to do to make sure that the families in our communities across the state of Oregon can afford safe and stable places to call home. Historically low vacancy rates and rapidly rising rents are putting housing out of reach for too many of our neighbors. One in four renters in Oregon is considered extremely low income, but for every 100 extremely low income renters, there are just 26 affordable homes available to those families. We need more affordable homes. LIFT is an example of how our community partners have come together and leveraged state resources with so many other resources to come together to build needed housing in all corners of the state. It's a critical state investment that can help develop more affordable housing for the families that so desperately need it. Thank you for your consideration, and I urge your support for $60 million in additional general obligation bonds for LIFT to provide homes for an estimated 1,500 additional Oregon families. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, we've gone through the list twice. Is there anybody that wishes to speak that has not spoken yet? Okay, well, I guess we're done. For the good of the order, is there anything that we need to discuss? Go ahead, Amanda.
Mr. Chair, subcommittee members, I just want to put on the record that the Higher Education Coordinating Commission had responded to questions that were asked of them during the last hearing, and those are posted under the meeting materials for May 5th.
So. Okay. We got through a lot of testimony today, a little faster than I anticipated.
And lottery next week.
And lottery next week. Mm-hmm. And sure pass the gavel. Anyway, so
I was surprised, Mr. Chair, we didn't have some other of the higher ed projects come in.
Well, we kind of talked to him about that.
That's okay.
Yeah.
He didn't have the Elliot coming in either.
I noticed that.
Okay. <We're in> turn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair.